in Überwald. I have heard the music of the years. I know more than I can ever understand. But I do not know the fifth surprise. It is a trick, a conundrum, a test.
Everything is a test, said Lutze.
Then show me the fifth surprise, and I promise not to harm you.
You promise not to harm me?
I promise not to harm you, Lobsang repeated solemnly.
Fine. You only had to ask, said Lutze, smiling broadly.
What? I asked before and you refused.
You only had to ask at the right time, Wonder Boy.
And it is the right time now?
It is written, there's no time like the present, said Lutze. Behold the fifth surprise.
He reached into his robe. Lobsang floated closer. The sweeper produced a cheap carnival mask. It was one of those that consisted of a fake pair of spectacles glued above a big pink nose and finished with a heavy black moustache. He put it on and waggled his ears once or twice.
Bow,
he said.
What? Said Lobsang, bewildered.
Bow,
Lutze repeated.
I never said it was a particularly imaginative surprise, did I?
He waggled his ears again and then waggled his eyebrows.
Good, eh?
He said, and grinned. Lobsang laughed. Lutze grinned wider. Lobsang laughed louder and lowered himself to the mat. The blows came out of nowhere. They caught him in the stomach, on the back of the neck, in the small of his back, and swept his legs from under him. He landed on his stomach, with Lutze pinning him down in the straddle of the fish. The only way to get out of that was to dislocate your own shoulders. There was a sort of collective sigh from the hidden watchers.
They shall fool!
What? Said Lobsang into the mat. You said none of the monks knew Deja Fu.
I never taught it to them, that's why, said Lutze. Promise not to harm me, would you? Thank you so very much. Submit.
You never told me you knew it. Lutze's knees, rammed into the secret pressure points, were turning Lobsang's arms into powerless lumps of flesh.
I may be old, but I'm not daft, Lutze shouted. You don't think I'd give away a trick like that, do you?
That's not fair. Lutze leaned down until his mouth was an inch from Lobsang's ear.
Didn't say fair on the box, lad. But you can win, you know. You could turn me into dust just like that. How could I stop time?
I can't do that.
You mean you won't, and we both know it. Submit.
Lobsang could feel parts of his body trying to shut themselves down. His shoulders were on fire. I can discarnate, he thought. Yes, I can. I could turn him into dust with a thought. And lose. I'd walk out and he'd be dead and I'd have lost.
Nothing to worry about, lad, said Lutze calmly now. You just forgot Rule 19. Submit.
Rule 19, said Lobsang, almost pushing himself off the mat until terrible pain forced him down again.
What the hell is Rule 19? Yes, yes, submit, submit. Remember never to forget Rule 1, said Lutze.
He released his grip.
And always ask yourself, how come it was created in the first place, eh?
Lutze got to his feet and went on.
But you have performed well, all things considered, and therefore, as your master, I have no hesitation in recommending you for the yellow robe. Besides,
he lowered his voice to a whisper,
everyone peeking in here has seen me beat time, and that's the sort of thing that'll look really good on my curriculum vitae, if you catch my meaning. Definitely give old Rule 1 a fillip. Let me give you a hand up.
He reached down. Lobsang was about to take the hand when he hesitated. Lutze grinned again and gently pulled him upright.
But only one of us can leave, sweeper, said Lobsang, rubbing his shoulders. Really? Said Lutze. But playing the game changes the rules. I say, the hell with it.
The remains of the door were pushed aside by the hands of many monks. There was the sound of someone being hit with a rubber yak.
Big hit! And the abbot, I believe, is ready to present you with a robe, said Lutze. Don't make any comment if he dribbles on it, please.
They left the dojo, and followed now by every soul in Oidong, headed for the long terrace. It was, Lutze reminisced later, an unusual ceremony.